anybody who takes the time to study American history, especially the settling era, and even by the founding era, will see that there is a strong role that Christianity in particular played in the founding of America. One man who believes that and has studied it for years now and documented so much of that is Dr. Peter Loback, who even founded a ministry called Providence Forum, providenceforum.org, for more information. He is the founding president. He's the president emeritus of this organization, which he gave generously to D. James Kennedy Ministries. And I personally, Jerry Newcomb, am privileged to be the one who runs it, as well as other responsibilities I do at D. James Kennedy Ministries. But Dr. Loback, I'd like to talk with you more about your vision about Providence Forum. Now, perhaps one of the biggest things that Providence Forum has done was to publish, you know, and get the book out there that you and I co-wrote on the faith of George Washington. By the way, I've got to say something. In a previous segment, you were talking about how George Washington was accused of not really reading the Bible or only reading it in jest. One of the things in that book, George Washington and Sacred Fire, you took the time in Appendix 2 to document how George Washington, in his own writings, private and public, was constantly quoting the Bible or making biblical-type references. For example, the verse in Micah 4:4, relatively obscure to most of us, "Every man shall rest under his own vine and fig tree." You showed how George Washington said that more than 40 times. It was, in fact, part of his vision for America. And we forget about the Bible and its incredible role in the founding of America. But what I want to ask you about is, why did you found Providence Forum? You explained in the previous segment how it was to honor the memory of William Penn and his tremendous contributions to America. But let's go further than that. What would you like to see Providence Forum become even more and do even more?
Well, let me kind of tell you a little more of its history. You might not be surprised that I'd want to do that, because it does help us to understand what the vision is for the Providence Forum. So the start was the need to remember the William Penn's extraordinary commitment, not only to the Bible, but to religious liberty that founded our country. And of course, that's one of the key elements, is that without the Christian roots of our nation, that whole idea of religious liberty that we have historically cherished would not likely have come to be a part of the whole country. It was really Penn taking the idea of the golden rule and applying it to the public square. So religious liberty is a very key component of what I was concerned about at the very beginning of the Providence Forum, and it's still something that we cherish. In fact, what was a great blessing for the country is now one of the very values that's being eroded consistently. I don't know if you've heard, but just recently, the Biden administration has set up a special committee called the Disinformation Committee. And basically what they're going to try to do is to manage what we can say. Well, that is diametrically opposed to the notion of free speech, which is one of the foundational issues of religious liberty. Religious liberty means that you can proclaim what you believe. If you have people saying you can't say that, you're not only restricting their freedom of speech, but you'll restrict their freedom of religion to exercise their conscience, because religious beliefs are disagreed with by many. And if they say, well, we think that's disinformation, they can begin to take away your religious liberty. These are serious issues. They were way back then. They're becoming an issue again today. That's a key part of what we're concerned about historically with the Providence Forum: religious liberty, the freedom of conscience, and free speech. So one of the great examples of that is one of the books that we published, which we called The Wall of Misconception, which was really an engagement of the First Amendment and why the First Amendment has been misunderstood and misused. And that came about because along the way, because of the work that we were doing, we were asked, when the Chester County commissioners were demanded to take down the Ten Commandments plaque on the courthouse in Chester County by the Free Thought Society, I was asked to help defend it. I was there on an open air disagreeing with it when they covered over. Say they didn't take it down first. They're going to take it down after the case. I ended up becoming one of the so-called expert witnesses in the case, which ultimately we won on appeal. And that the Ten Commandments plaque is still there. That book is kind of a defense of that whole story and the deeper history of religious liberty. So that's part of it. Another booklet that we published is called Freedom's Holy Light. And that goes through and just in a very popular way looks at how that wonderful word providence, the last words of deity of the four references to God in the Declaration of Independence, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. That doctrine of providence runs all the way through the American story. That is a belief that America has had that's really reflected in that great motto, In God We Trust, that we're trusting in a God who is there, a God who is overseeing history, that's working through the process of all the vicissitudes and challenges a nation faces. God is working his way through. And that's why in the height of the Civil War, in that day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, Abraham Lincoln will say, "We have forgotten God." And he says, we've been intoxicated with our success. And he says, we need to come back and remember the God who has redeemed us and has blessed us as a people and given us more success than any nation in history. It's a wonderful statement. We see providence running through our story. That's part of our words. And, of course, it's the name. So when you put those things together, why does the providence form exist? Number one, we want to preserve religious liberty, the freedom to be Christians, the freedom to be non-Christian, and the freedom to debate it in the public square. That makes America what it is. Secondly, we want to be educators. We want everybody to know these great truths. What is providence? Why is God appealed to in the Declaration? How does that belief in God shape the Constitution? How does that belief still help shape us when we think of our national anthem that actually sings about providence in the fourth stanza? Our motto that says we are trusting in God. That great motto on the back of the great seal, Annuit Coeptis, where the eye of providence is there and the words in Latin mean he has smiled on our undertakings, that God has blessed this nation. So that we can see that religious truth, those ideas, and be educators so that people will learn them. And then to help us learn them, to see how they are contextualized in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the place where a nation was born. So one of the things we want to do is to keep the historical freedoms of Penn, the birthplace of liberty at Independence Hall, Carpenter's Hall, historic Philadelphia. And we've done that by putting together a marvelous app. It is a virtual tour of the historic Philadelphia with videos and educational tools. So whether you make it to Philadelphia or not, you can take the tour. And if you are going to come to the city, you have this fabulous app that helps you to be prepared and learn and engage it more fully. So education is a key part. A third thing that I think is critical is just bringing together the church and the school with foundational truths that we need to work together. So often the school is seen on the separate side, the church is somewhere else, but to realize that there is a overlap. While the church has theology and religious training, and the school is more popular, maybe even secular in some ways, yet there are truths that touch both of them, and they should be friends. The wall of separation is not a great wall of China to keep an enemy out, but it's like a strong fence between neighbors, which when you need to talk to each other, you can, and you can cooperate and help each other. So we're trying to help explain how there is a cooperative nature between the church and the state, which benefits the society, helping to understand the First Amendment relationship, not a hostile separation, but a friendly separation, one in which we are different, we have different functions, but we can cooperate for the good of the people. So we're an educational institution wanting to help the church and the school. We want to protect religious liberty to do it very well. We want to be educators of the people by at large. And so I'll finish with one last example. I believe every student in America should be able to understand what are our mottos on the dollar bill and why we have the colors red, white, and blue on the flag. I would wager that not even 1 in 1,000 educators could answer that. The phrase, e pluribus unum, we sort of know that. Yeah, out of many, one. Well, okay, we got that. The Roman numeral, 1776 on the seal, we got that. Okay, novus ordo seclorum. Here we're confused. We say, that's an Illuminati. No, it's not. It means something new has happened in history. For the first time in history, 13 independent nations came together to create a new nation in peace to defend themselves, creating a new country. And then I've already quoted it, that language, annuit coeptus at the top. Every student in America should know that our founding father said that that eye in a triangle with a radiance around it is the eye of divine providence because of, quote, the many signal interpositions of divine providence on behalf of the American cause. And then that Latin phrase at the top, annuit coeptus, means this eye of providence has smiled on what we've done. This is not a deist symbol. This is a symbol of theism, an act of God in history. And that when they created that seal, the shield on the front, which we often see with the eagle, which has the blue and the red and the white, it's kind of like, almost looks like the flag. They actually gave us meanings for those colors. And they said red stands for hardiness and valor. We want to have strong, courageous people. How about this? White, purity and innocence. When's the last time you heard our school or our government talking about we want our people to be pure and to be innocent before the law? That's an amazing value. And then blue, perseverance, vigilance, and justice, that we don't give up and stand for what's right, and we persevere so that there might be true justice under God. Well, those are the educational tools, and my prayer is that the Providence Forum might be able to do something like Dr. Kennedy did with Evangelism Explosion. Do you remember he had that wonderful vision that you, as you're coming to share the gospel, you said, I want to ask you some qualifying questions. We need to be qualified to be an evangelist and qualified so we explain the gospel right. I wish there were some qualifying questions for citizenship. Can you pass the citizenship? Why do we have these mottos on the dollar bill? What are the virtues that are captured in the American flag's colors? We need to be educators. That work is just beginning. I've only started it. I'm too old to carry it on, but Jerry, I'm entrusting you and the great vision of the work of the D. James Kennedy Ministry carrying on Providence for to keep this going for generations to come, that maybe the day will come when we will reclaim those founding values and say, this is what it means to be an American. Well, this is what we've been bequeathed to for by our founders. So thank you for taking on this work. So that's at least a little bit of my vision.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. And you mentioned the 300th anniversary of Pennsylvania's founding and its godly heritage. I saw the vision that with the 400th anniversary of the first, you know, the Mayflower, the voyage of the Mayflower Compact was the first step towards the creation of the Constitution. And it was all based on, you know, godly values. They said they did their voyage for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. And therefore, I decided, well, God, give me the grace to make some films about this. And so we were able to do that. And they're now under the auspices of Providence Forum. You're a part of that, by the way, with some of the programming. I thought, well, if I'm going to make one special about the Pilgrims, I might as well make one about, you know, the Puritans and William Penn and then the Founding Fathers and so forth. So it's a whole series. And I'll tell you what, we only have 30 seconds left, but there's an anniversary coming around the corner. 8 years from now, from the time of this recording in 2022, will be the 400th anniversary of the founding of Boston, built by the Puritans, a city on a hill. Just 8 years from now. That's a huge anniversary. Dr. Lobeck, thank you so much for all you're doing. I'd like to talk with you more about America's godly heritage. Providenceforum.org for more information. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.